Creative Biz Ideas is sponsored by Vids Inc., exceptional video production. If you're looking for training videos, marketing videos, or website videos, then call Vids Inc. at 281-968-VIDS. That's 281-968-8437. You're listening to Creative Biz Ideas with your host, Nolan Davis, on Blog Talk Radio.
This is Nolan Davis with Creative Biz Ideas and our co-host, Chris Burris. Chris, are you there, sir?
I am here and still awake.
All right. All right. And we are now getting into a little bit of legal talk with our very own attorney, Mark Smith. Mark, are you there, sir?
I am, Nolan. Good morning. How are you?
Man, good morning. I missed you for a couple of weeks. I'm doing great. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine for a spring break with the kids. So it's so far so good.
Okay. So I do realize with the kids, it's kind of like a ticking time bomb. It's like, hey, Dad's going to be in the room for a minute. Give me a couple of minutes. And those couple of minutes starts the countdown. So
exactly.
Anything in the back? I got three kids. I know exactly what you're talking about. So if we hear anything in the background, I will go back and edit that out of the show because I can edit audio as well. So nobody thinks that because it sounds like a three-ring circus where I am if my kids get started. So I totally understand. So Mark, what do you have for us today, sir?
Well, just to kind of follow up on my last entry, you know, I talked about some of the implied warranties that are created under Texas law. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about the implied warranties that are related to the sale of goods. Well, this week, it's going to be more on the sale of really large goods. And what I mean by that is home sales and then construction, repair, and modification of either homes or, large appliances. Typically it happens a lot with when you get your car repaired. So, for example, the first warranty that's created under Texas law is what they call the warranty of good and workmanlike performance. So you take your car in or you're having a house built or you're having some work done on your house, and you have an expectation that work is going to be done to, a typical standard, whatever the industry standard is in our area. Well, until the courts acknowledge that there was this implied warranty that arose, people could come in and they could do all kinds of shoddy work, and there was really nothing under the law to hold them to that standard so that they would, provide decent work. And this implied warranty has been around for a long time, but essentially it just kind of holds those tradesmen to a standard of, that they would provide decent work.
Right.
You can get it in, several different areas. Number one is the repair and restoration of something, fixing what's broken. So, in other words, getting something repaired on your car, having a roof replaced on your house or anything like that. It can include alterations that introduce a new element into the details. So, in other words, for example, you have storm blows through and it knocks over your deck awning. Well, instead of replacing it, exactly like it was, you're going to spend a little bit of extra money and you're going to add, maybe an outdoor kitchen. I don't know, something along those lines. So it would cover all of that. And then for residential property, it covers the construction of new homes, renovating old homes, townhomes, and condominiums. So that's kind of in general what the good and workmanlike warranty is. And there's also I'm trying to find my notes here. The implied warranty of habitability. So what that means is that when you build a home, whether it's a new home, condominium, apartment, whatever, that there's this expectation that you can come in and actually live in it. I know that's kind of crazy, but, you know, people tend to have that expectation that when you build them a home that it's habitable. The warranty in that regard basically, you know, protects people from what they call latent defects. A lot of times it could be, you know, they poured the foundation incorrectly and you start seeing cracks within a couple of months in your sheetrock. Or, you know, there was a leak and you have some potential mold infestation, you know, that could render the home uninhabitable. So that's another one. And then the other one dealing with leased property is the implied warranty of suitability. So it's very much like the habitability warranty, except that it deals specifically with commercial property. And, you know, it kind of expands it a little bit. You know, you have this expectation when you're going in looking for commercial property. Say, for example, you're a business owner that is in manufacturing, and the commercial real estate agent says, oh, yeah, this is absolutely perfect for your operations. You know, you can do everything that you want to do here. And you come in and realize that either the space is too small, it's not zoned appropriately for what you want to do, or one of those things, then that could potentially breach the warranty of suitability. So those are kind of the three warranties that come up with the sale of real estate and, you know, the repair of, you know, large items. It's the warranty of good and workmanlike performance, the warranty of habitability, and the warranty of suitability. So, you know, my tip would be that if you're involved in trades that do this sort of work, just be aware that these warranties arise when the work is completed. And, you know, if you're either a business owner or a consumer, just be aware that most times, most contracts will try and waive these warranties. If they do, I would just recommend that you have some sort of mechanism that if they perform or work, that you have the ability to get it repaired or, you know, get it up to whatever the standard is.
Okay. All right. That's like you said, if you're definitely in the trade, or I guess a real estate agent, or even an investor, or thinking about investing in real estate, that's great information to have. Now, yeah. I know a couple of weeks ago, you had a workshop that you had. How often do you have your workshop?
I am trying to do at least something once a month, and a lot of my workshops will be more employment law related. Just because that's kind of one of my passion areas. And so it'll be kind of it really will depend on where I am in kind of my cycle. Typically, I'll start off with, like, employment discrimination 101. And I actually have a workshop coming up in April with the Small Business Development Corp in Galveston, which is in Texas City, related to payroll law. So, I try and have something at least once a month, maybe once every couple weeks, and on various topics related to business owners, you know, and they're either, if they're with the Small Business Development Corp, they're typically free. If it's with, me as a freestanding law office, it's typically a very small charge. But it's great information, especially for business owners that need a refresher on certain areas, or that, you know, they are, you know, don't really know a specific part of the law and they really need to brush up on it. The main thing with the law and lawyers that represent businesses is that we want to reduce your risk as much as possible. And a lot of times the risk is not what you know, it's what you don't.
Right, absolutely. When is that next one in April?
It is in April. I have to check my calendar. I believe it is April 13th, but let me check. I had a couple scheduled, but because of conflicts, I had to cancel. Let me see. It is actually April 9th, and it's in the Galveston County Small Business Development Corporation office there in Texas City, which is 8419 Emmett F. Lowry Expressway.
And you said it's absolutely free?
As far as I know, yeah, they typically what they told me is that the SBDC, because of their funding mechanism, which comes partly from the federal government, they have to show that they have a good attendance at these training sessions that they provide. So, and what I'll do, Nolan, is I will send you a detailed calendar invite on that, and if you want to send some folks out, I would be happy to. I believe they have to sign up through the SBDC, but as far as I'm aware, it's free.
Okay. And I got one more question for you. As you talk about, you know, payroll laws and things like that, how can you get the maximum out of somebody without paying them? And I give you an example. I have a new co-host of the show, and I need not – well, Mark, we're going to talk about that offline. Don't worry about it. So, Mark,
that sounds good.
I appreciate you, sir.
No problem, Nolan. I appreciate it.
Hey,
what is the implied warranty of a co-host?
Exactly. Hey, Mark, before I let you go, how can the people get in contact with you if they felt like they needed that free consultation that you give to each and every one of your new clients?
Yeah, so easiest ways are to call me on my office number, which is 281-489-3934, or look up my website, which is www.jmsmithlaw.com, and fill out the contact form. And I'll be happy to talk to him.
All right. Thank you, Mark Smith. You have a great day, sir.
You too, Dylan. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Mark.
Bye.